At this 2015 Angus Means Business Convention Trade Show, we're talking with Mark McCulley from the Certified Angus Beef Program. Mark, your specialty, your area of responsibility within CAB is to work on the industry side and really make sure you've got supplies to be able to go through the pipeline and get that beef to consumers, right?
You bet. Yeah, most of my focus every day is looking at the packing, processing level, and then backwards into the cattle supply chain. And working with our food service retail, both domestic and international, demand and seeing what that looks like and how that translates to the need for future supplies long term.
We've had obviously growth in the Angus, certified Angus beef program, more pounds of beef all the time. That means you got to have more cattle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We can only grow, and it's a little bit of a for an economist, a hard way to look at it. But as we grow supply, we can grow demand. And that's kind of what we've had here over the last few years. We've had cattlemen raising more cattle to meet a higher quality in target. As we've got that product now in the pipeline, it allows us to go out and market that product, bring on new distributors, bring on new retailers, grow into countries, which then creates more demand and more of an economic signal to produce more.
What sort of issues or what sort of heartburn did you have with this multi-year drought that we've just kind of come out of?
Well, sure. I mean, it from a cattle supply standpoint has obviously impacted everyone. Fortunately, we've seen at the same time a growth in the use of Angus genetics and an improvement in the grade. So even though the cattle supply, overall fed cattle supply, has gone down, we've actually been able to maintain our certified carcasses. This past year, we put about 3.5 million head of carcasses into the program. That were Angus influenced and met our carcass specifications, which was basically on par with our past couple years. So we've been able to maintain our numbers in that declining number of overall supply. You know, at the same time, obviously, we saw a huge increase in price, which has been great for our cattlemen that had the cattle to sell. It's produced some challenges, especially at the retail level, where so much of our retail business is generated off ad features. So a retailer being able to put a real attractive price on their front page to sell a lot of product. When we've had some cheaper competing proteins out there, that's made that whole segment very challenging.
Right. I know that, obviously you sell all cuts. In other words, you sell a variety of cuts, including ground beef. How do you balance all of your supply, issues that you've got from the packer backwards? How do you make all that work to order to have the right mix of product at the case?
That's a challenge every day, and we've got some great relationships with our packing partners. We've got great relationships with our end users. We have a team that have constant communication with both of those segments to understand what they maybe a particular retailer is wanting to feature 4 to 6 weeks out, and then working backwards. We're very fortunate to work with about 85% of the packing base here in North America. So if they have a primary packer supplier that might not have that product availability, we can look to some other packers, and we know by plant what their availability is historically look like, and can maybe identify where that product might be available. So it's a challenge every day that we look to hopefully connect the dots, if you will, and grow carcass utilization to get more pounds sold at a premium through our licensed partners.
What sort of communications do you have backwards to the producers? The guys that are supplying the cattle that hopefully will meet the specs to qualify for CAB, what's different that you're needing from them today than, say, 10 or 15 years ago?
Yeah, I think we're at in my opinion, a continued change and evolution in the beef market from a commodity-based system to one that's far more value-based and price determined off a lot of other things, not just maybe price per pound, but based on value and based on health, based on genetic merit, feed efficiency, all of these types of things. And so our job today is somewhat twofold. We feel from a looking back and talking to cattle producers is, one, to help them understand what the market signals are saying and likely what the trends look like. Understanding decisions we make today on genetics won't come into play. We're really talking about what's the market look like 4 years from now based on the and influence our genetic decisions today. So try to help the cattlemen understand what the trends look like and likely what's going on that side of the business, and then come alongside them of what's available out there for them as tools. We work a lot with Extension. We work a lot with the pharmaceutical companies, the feed companies, the allied industry, if you will, to come alongside of them and help them, provide them the tools and the knowledge and the wherewithal to be able to take advantage of those market signals.
What's CAB thought about, or how have you dealt with these larger or bigger carcasses, heavier carcasses that we've had? The trend has been there for quite a few years now. Really, we almost went over the line, it looks like, a little bit here in 2015.
Yeah, we've set some records. Probably we've hit some average carcass weights that probably those of us in the business for a while would have never said we'd see. The challenge has been primarily on the middle meats and specifically almost on the rib. That's the cut that seems to present the most challenges, specifically to our food service operators. And so we've worked pretty heavily with NCBA and others to look at how do we fabricate this carcass or that rib in particular maybe a little differently. We do quite a bit of education on we have an education and culinary center where we'll bring food service users and retail merchandisers in, and let's look at taking these heavier cuts and realizing they're a challenge with our traditional ways of merchandising. How can we do it a little bit different? And so that might be splitting that rib in half. That might be taking that cap off. And so trying to be innovative, looking at these cuts, realizing that the economic, we can't probably send an economic signal strong enough backwards to make the cattle smaller. So realizing that this is probably, I'm not sure we're not going to retrace here a little bit because we've made them awfully, awfully big. Right. But realizing that we're not going to go backwards significantly. How do we deal with these bigger cuts? And also realizing that there's some negative with the bigger cuts. There's some positive with some of these bigger cuts. As we're looking at pulling out some of these single muscles, the teres majors, the flat irons, they're actually more ideal on some of these bigger carcasses because it makes a little nicer portion size. So it's not all downside, but we've got to figure out and maybe be a little innovative and maybe work the knife a little different on these carcasses than we have been in the past.
Going forward, what's out there that you foresee on the CAB brand when it comes to the cattle producer?
You know, I would say our cornerstone is still always going to be, it's going to be around marbling, it's going to be around quality, around taste and flavor and consistency and all of those things. And I don't see that changing. I think that's still paramount to why consumers buy beef, and we'll continue making that our cornerstone. Now, additionally, we have continued to see increased demand for things like traceability. Folks wanting to understand more about how the cattle were raised, what the cattle were fed, more transparency in our production chain. And we spend an awful lot of time today taking food service groups and retail groups out to farms and ranches and into packing plants and helping them understand what we're doing and how we're doing it. And so I think telling that story, as we kind of call it, is going to be a bigger part of how we market the brand and merchandise the brand down the road. And I think for cattlemen to maybe start anticipating some of those things, thinking about documenting, and I know that becomes somewhat scary to some folks, and black helicopters and Suburbans started coming into people's minds. It really doesn't need to be scary at all. I think there's some very proactive steps that we can be taking. We're doing a good job today, and let's just do a little better job of documenting that. I think that's going to be an important factor long-term in the marketplace.